Thank you. Honorable judges, my name is Cliff Kincaid, and I represent Lori Hawkpool in her appeal. I'd like to observe 2 minutes for the order of the and we are appealing the dismissal of Ms. Hawkpool's claim from under the Rehabilitation Act of 1973, and that is the federal counterpart of the Americans with Disabilities Act. The trial court dismissed the plaintiff's claim on the basis of the exclusivity provision of the Federal Employee Compensation Act. I hear a piece of feedback. Are you able to hear me, okay, judges?
Yes. Yes.
Lori Hawkpool, at the workplace, observed a fight on July 17, 1993. As a result of this incident and the incident and the subsequent actions of the Postal Service did not safeguard her, she became afflicted with a condition called post-traumatic stress disorder. In 1999, Hawkpool's PTSD was exacerbated when she was harassed by a supervisor. Both injury claims, which occurred on the job, have been accepted by OWCP, administrative agency, charged with the administration of the Federal Employee Compensation Act. They accepted her injuries as work-related injuries. From 1999 to June 2002, the Postal Service accommodated Ms. Hawkpool's condition by assigning her to work sites away from the stressors which caused her to be symptomatic of her condition. In June 2002, the Postal Service transferred Hawkpool to a work site where she would have contact to the fighters, to the attackers of the 1993 fire. She suffered reasonable accommodation as a result of this event. The Postal Service, through its district rehabilitation, reasonable accommodation committee, denied her request for accommodation on the basis that they felt that post-traumatic stress disorder did not substantially limit Hawkpool's from doing a broad spectrum of jobs. The trial court, when we filed the claim, we filed it under the Rehabilitation Act of 1973. We did not seek any claims under the Federal Employment Compensation Act. She had already been receiving benefits. We were satisfied with those benefits. What we wanted was relief separate and distinct from the monetary problem she was making under FICA.
That's where I have some difficulty. That's where I have some difficulty with the claim, because the post-traumatic stress syndrome was an injury under the FICA statute. It is work-related. And she was ordered by the board to be accommodated. In other words, it's precisely the same injury, and she got precisely the same relief about which she's now complaining. So why isn't this particular claim preempted? Unlike, for example, your retaliation claim, which I think would not be preempted.
Well, I think that what the board ordered, the OWCP ordered, was that she be compensated. The OWCP did not and does not have the ability to reasonably accommodate.
Well, it ordered her. It ordered.
In terms of deciding what her work site would be, or deciding who she would be assigned to work with, that is the major distinction between the injury. We are not complaining about the injury, but what the Postal Service refused to do that they had been doing for a period of time, 1999 to 2002.
As I understand it, the...
Can you hear us, counsel?
I don't think he can hear us.
Counsel, can you hear the judges? Can you hear the judges?
I don't think he can hear us.
You can't hear us?
I can hear you now.
Oh, well, Judge Reimer has had some questions he wanted to have answered, and we feel that maybe you haven't heard them.
I didn't hear any questions. Can you ask about the interpretation? Sorry.
I was under the impression that you sought in the FICA proceeding an order not to be placed in a place where you would be in contact with the folks who caused distress, and that was ordered. Is that not correct?
I would not know. I did not represent this possibility in the FICA matter. I know nothing about, I have very little knowledge of the FICA case. I do have some understanding as to its remedies, but I did not represent this possibility.
Okay, thank you.
But you do know, don't you? You do know what happened there and what the rulings of the FICA were, do you not?
No, I know that they ordered the claims to be covered and she be compensated. I'm not aware of any claim of orders.
Did you write the brief? Did you write the brief for this case?
I wrote the, my associate wrote the brief. I read it and I approved of it when it was written, yes.
It's kind of a good thing to look into what the order says, too.
Fine, Your Honor. Your Honor, if I may, I think the case is going to fail.
Okay, would you like to save the rest of your time for rebuttal?
Yes,
counsel, before you do that, counsel, at page four of your brief, while you're sitting down, could you read that? Because it talks about the fact that the claim that she filed was accommodated by ordering that she have no contact with the stressing individuals. So while you're sitting down, if you could just read that.
I'm aware, Your Honor, I am aware that as part of the OPC process, the Anzis Hospital is medical providers with their diagnosis, their prognosis, and their recommendation. I'm aware that that is all that is.
No, you put in your brief that as part of the resolution of the OWCP claim, the Postal Service accommodated her mental condition by arranging her work hours so she would have no contact with the Lyles.
I am not aware, Your Honor, if I can, that her medical providers recommended that Ms. Papua be allowed to work in areas and at times when she did not come into contact with her stressors.
All right.
That is, you're correct, but their recommendation was not binding upon the Postal Service. And in fact, that's why we're here.
All right.
Mr. King.
Good morning again, Your Honors. May it please the Court. Assistant United States Attorney Edric Ching for Defendant John Potter. Your Honor, I think one very important point in this case is when I look at Ms. Paakaula's opening brief, when I look at the statement of facts on pages 4 and 5, it brings up the fact that at a certain point in the early 2002 that Ms. Paakaula was given information with regard to a potential reassignment which may have put her into contact with the people, with Mr. and Mrs. Lau, the fighters, I guess. And then as we go down on page 5, it talks about all the different steps that Ms. Paakaula took. And then it just goes down to the fact that a complaint was filed. Your Honor, Mr. Ikei in this case has totally, I'm not sure if it was on purpose or just by via mistake, but he totally forgot to include the 2003 OWCP decision, which provided in part that Ms. Paakaula be transferred to the Sand Island Rehabilitation area of the post office so that she would not have contact with the fighters, Mr. and Mrs. Lau. Your Honor, in the different cases cited by Mr. Ikei, a lot of times, without going through each case by case, is that a settlement would be made, and then the Postal Service would, place the plaintiff in a job, and at that point, there would be more litigation about whether the accommodation is reasonable, and there are disputes. However, in this case, Your Honor, there is no evidence set forth in the record that Ms. Paakaula has disputed whether the accommodation was reasonable with regard to her most recent assignment to the Sand Island Rehabilitation Program. And, Your Honor, based on that, it is clear that FECA should preempt Ms. Paakaula's Rehabilitation Act claim.
What is your understanding of the basis of the present Rehab Act claim?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
What's your understanding of the basis of the Rehabilitation Act claim that's pending before this court? What is the basis of it?
The basis is that it is moot because the OWCP made a determination.
No, I'm asking you, what is the plaintiff asking for? What is the basis for her Rehabilitation Act claim against the Postal Service at this point?
Well, thanks for the clarification, Your Honor. You know, when I read the complaint, I don't see her complaining or making any complaints with regard to her current employment, which was done after the 2003, which is at the Sand Island Rehabilitation Act. It appears that she is making allegations with regard to the proposed relocation to the position in which she would have contact with the Laos, which was addressed in the OWCP decision in 2003. So the way the government sees it is that it was already addressed. They gave her an accommodation, and I believe that she was also paid wages with regard to, or she was given monetary consideration.
But she wants emotional distress damages and all of the other damages that are not available under FECA. Is that where we are with that case?
Yes, that's my understanding of it, Your Honor. But at this point, the government's position is that it is based on, again, I know that was in a previous case, but based on Mr. V. Runyon, is that FECA preempts the Rehabilitation Act claims.
And so in your view, if there were an accommodation, and at some point in time, if an employee had an injury that could no longer be accommodated, in a particular way, say for instance, someone lost a limb, and then the situation worsened, and they asked for another accommodation, and that accommodation was not made, would that person have a Rehab Act claim even though the FECA claim had been settled?
Your Honor, may I clarify that that hypothetical? Would it be the person lost a limb, then received FECA benefits?
Right, received it.
And then later on, Your
Things
Honor.
Things worsened, asked for an accommodation, and it wasn't given. No additional FECA proceedings, but asked for an accommodation. Would that earlier FECA proceeding preempt a later Rehab Act claim in your view?
Yes, Your Honor. Based on Mr. V. Runyon, which has facts similar to the hypothetical you gave me, I would argue that the Rehabilitation Act claims are also.
So that person would have no remedy if there were a wrongful denial of an accommodation a couple years in the future. FECA would still preempt any Rehab Act claim?
Yes, Your Honor, based on Mr. V. Runyon, I would say yes.
She would have a FICA remedy.
Yes, she would have more additional FICA remedies, I would assume.
Okay, yes, so they would have to reopen the FICA case.
Yes, Your Honor.
In your view, and try to get an adjustment under the FICA as opposed to under the Rehab Act. That's what you think?
Your Honor, I think that, but I'm not really too well-versed in...
That's a dilemma for me. That's a problem for me. If you say FICA preempts, then I just wonder if a condition worsens over time and you've already had the FICA procedures and then the employer does not give accommodation, what is the employee to do?
Yes, Your Honor, like we had earlier discussed, perhaps there's additional FICA benefits. And I understand the hypothetical, Your Honor, but at that point, I guess the government or an analysis would have to be done as to the to the link between the new condition and the old condition.
Right.
Yes, you know, for example, going to the case that Ms. Paakula cited, Reedy v. Runyon. Mm-hmm. In that case, the FICA claimant or the plaintiff had a herniated cervical disc, and then I guess approximately 5 years later made a FICA claim on the failure of the plaintiff to receive overtime shifts. And the court found that this claim was not barred or preempted because it claimed that the overtime shifts were not related to the original injury. So at a certain point, I think we would have to do an analysis as to how close the link is between the original injury and then the claim injury. But in this case, Your Honor, the government asserts that there has been no new allegations or complaints with regard to the plaintiff's job, which she received in 2003 at the Staten Island Rehabilitation Center.
Okay.
Thank you.
Can you hear me okay, Judge?
Yes, sir.
I think Judge Wallace pointed out the issue in this case, and that is whether the FICA preempts claims made under the Rehabilitation Act. And I think the clear answer is no. And I think that what we are claiming is not compensation for the injury. We are not claiming that. We are claiming the denial of reasonable accommodation made to Ms. Paakula as a result of her condition, of the result of her disability.
Are you contending that now there is not now a reasonable accommodation at the present time?
What happened, Your Honor, is possible. Can I touch on?
No.
In fall 2002, she was assigned to work in a position which put her into the same job site as the accountants. She asked for accommodation. It was denied. She subsequently was able to successfully bid for the Staten Island job in 2003, and that is where she's been. But the Postal Service...
So you're not seeking compensation for after the transfer. It's for this period in which she was forced to work in the vicinity of these people.
No,
but the board ultimately compensated for that.
Yes, ma'am. I think from the Nichols versus Prime case, any compensation that she receives from the jury or in the Rehab Act claim would have to be reimbursed to the FICA, so there would not be a double recovery.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Hill. Your time has expired. We appreciate the argument, and the matter just argued will be submitted, and the court will stand in recess for the day.
Thank you so much, Randy.
Just trying to ask my Monday afternoon, I asked my staff.
What's that?
Okay, thanks so much, Randy. Okay. This is a really difficult acoustic space. It's all marble. It just bounces around in here. So it's not ideal. Normally we do video in other courtrooms.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is kind of ruined.
Yeah. Are you
Sean, I don't know if you remember me when you first started. I think we started, what did you testify, like 96, right?
Yeah.
I used to work for Judge Chang at Circuit Court.
Oh, when I, when